Bhagavad reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 82, Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, text 32. Tam drishtva vrishnayo hrishtas.
Tam drishtva vrishnayo hrishtas.
Tam drishtva vrishnayo hrishtas.
Tam drishtva vrishnayo hrishtas.
Tanva pranam
vivotita.
Tanva pranam vivotita.
Tanva pranam vivotita.
Harisa swajire gatam. Harisha swajire gadam,
Harisha swajire gadam,
Chiradashana katara,
Chiradashana katara,
Chiradashana katara,
Chiradashana katara,
Tandrishva vishnayo
rishtas, Tandrishva vishnayo rishtas,
Tanva pranam Tanva pranam ivotita,
Tanva pranam ivotita,
Harisa vajre gadam,
Harisa vajre gadam,
Chiradashana katara,
Chiradashana katara,
Tam,
Tam,
Him,
Him,
Nanda,
Nanda,
Rishwa,
Rishwa,
Seeing,
Seeing,
Vishnaya,
Vishnaya,
the Vishnis,
Vishnis,
Rishta,
Delighted.
Tanva,
living bodies.
Pranam, their vital end. Iva,
as if.
Utita,
rising.
Parishasvajire, embrace him. Kadam,
firmly.
Chira, after a long time. Nashana, in seeing. Kandara,
agitated.
Translation. Seeing Nanda, the Rishnis were delighted and stood up like dead bodies coming back to life. Having felt much distress at not seeing him for so long, they held him in a tight embrace. I'll be reading a few verses.
Vasudeva Parishvajya Samrita Prema Vivala Smaran Kamsa Kritam Kleshan Putra Nyasam Jagokule.
Vasudeva embraced Nanda Maharaj with great joy. Beside himself with ecstatic love, Vasudeva remembered the troubles Kamsa had caused him, forcing him to leave his sons in Gokul for their safety.
Krishna Rama Parishvajya Pitaram Abhivajyacha Nakinchano Chatu Premna Shastra Kanta Kurudvaha.
O hero of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram embraced their foster parents and bowed down to them, but their throats were so choked up with tears of love that the two lords could say nothing. Purport. After long separation, a respectful child should first offer obeisances to his parents. Do you do that? Do you do that? You have to do that. Every day, before you go to bed, and the first thing in the morning, before you do anything, you offer obeisances to your father and mother. That's culture. All right? Proper respect. Then you grow up and become very good human beings, good citizens, good devotees. Of course, when you become teenagers, they forget. My kids used to do that every evening and morning. First thing they do, offer businesses. Until the 12, 13th, then they.
Nanda and Yashoda gave their sons no opportunity for this. However, for as soon as they saw them, they embraced them. Only then could Krishna and Balaram offer their proper respects.
Tat vatmasa nam arupya bahubhyam paribhya pariragacha
Yashoda cha mahabhagam sutta vijatu sucha.
Raising their two sons onto their laps and holding them in their arms, Nanda and saintly mother Yashoda forgot their sorrow.
Purport.
Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that after the initial embraces and obeisances, Vasudev led Nanda and Yashoda into his tent as they held the hands of Krishna and Balaram. Following them inside were Rohini, other women and men of Raj, and a number of attendants. Inside, Nanda and Yashoda took the two boys on their laps. Despite having heard the glories of the two lords of Dwarka, and despite seeing these opulences now before their eyes, Nanda and Yashoda looked upon them as if they were still their 8-year-old children. Om Magyana Timandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Yakshumanitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Pasichadi Shatarine. So as I've often said, that Srila Prabhupada said that this Krishna conscious movement is going to spread by culture. We're actually making a cultural revolution. And culture means behavior, proper behaviors, appropriate etiquettes. I was not joking. When I say to you, to learn right from the beginning to offer proper respect to the parents, to the teachers, to the elders. Because that is not part of Western culture. We know in India, even in Asian culture, this respect is there. And you can see that in the way they address one another. They use different titles to address one another. When I first came to Sweden, it was very shocking for me to hear son and daughter addressing their parents by names. It was very, very shocking. It was like, it took me a long time to for my ears and mind to get used to it. Even today, even in our family, my younger brother and sister address the name with the elder brother, connected to the name, elder brother so-and-so. How do you say in Hindi, the brother, big brother? Baya. Baya. My sister? Elder sister?
Didi.
Didi. Yeah. So there's embrace, and also when we go to my children's friends, they come to the house, they call uncle. The first thing they come to the house, they see the parents and say, hello uncle, hello auntie. In India also it's like that. That's respect, training. Then you see these children, they have proper training at home, properly trained. So it's still getting adjusted, especially when I just came back recently from Malaysia. Then my children, my son's friends, they come to the house. Hi, CJ. Hi, CJ. And I, like, and I hear, oh, okay, wait, I'm in Australia now. So this culture, proper training. And we see also in India, they always touch the, when they see the elders, first thing they do is touch the feet. Respect. Proper respect. And that's why sometimes also in the Western world, even accepting a guru or even respecting senior devotees is a bit difficult. The other day someone was asking a question about familiarity with service and familiarity with also with devotees. Because this proper respect is not cultivated from young, it's very difficult to show this respect even in adulthood. And you can see the difference there amongst the devotees of Indian origin. They tend to have that respectful attitude. With the Western devotees, normally it's very familiar. I'm not pushing down anyone, I'm just making a point here in the Bhagavatam. And you see the difference, and familiar. And simply just by the way of addressing one another, how you relate to one another. So this proper culture, proper training is very important. Especially respect. Learning proper respect. And we see Krishna, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he showed proper respect to his parents. And Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they were so eager, they were so happy to see Krishna and Balaram, they didn't give them a chance to offer respect. The first thing they do, they just embrace. And only after embracing them, that Krishna and Balaram has a chance to offer their respect to the parents. So of course, this is the relationship Mother Yashoda and Krishna, Nanda Maharaj had with Krishna. There are different relationships in the spiritual world. It's like we have so many different relationships here in the material world. This material world is nothing but a further reflection of the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, there are five primary rasas, relationship, and then there's seven subsidiary, secondary relationship. The primary relations are Shantaras, Dasharas, Sakyaras, Vasaryaras, and Maduryaras. Shantaras means neutral. Neutral relationship, like the animals, Vrindavan, even the trees. They are there, just meant for Krishna to enjoy. It's not like active service in that sense. Like Krishna will see tree, it's described in the Krishna book, description of Vrindavan. The trees are so much laden with fruits, and so heavy fruits, you don't have to climb up the trees to get the fruits. It's coming down by the weight. They just pick and eat. And the flutes, the bamboo tree, Krishna's flute. Sometimes the bamboo, they are addressing one another, they're addressing the parents. You are so fortunate that your son, young bamboo has been used, is touching the lip of Krishna all the time. So that this appreciation is there. And of course, in Dasharaj, that is active service. Krishna has all his friends who are more like in service, servitude. They're always ready to serve Krishna, rendering different services to Krishna. In the early morning, they'll come, they'll help Mother Yashoda dress Krishna. Dasharas, they're friends of Krishna. Friends of Krishna means they have no awe and reverence. Just like between friends, there's no awe and reverence. You're my friend. We muck around. Just like Arjuna. Later on, in the Bhagavad Gita, you have expressed when he accepted Krishna as the spiritual master, then he said, I must have committed so much offenses. I'm so familiar with you. We used to lie on the same bed, we used to joke with one another, poke. You know what friends do? They pull one another's legs, making fun of one another. Just like Krishna sometimes is resting, and the friends say, Krishna, open your mouth. He opened the mouth and put a flower in his mouth. And friends. And if they play games and Krishna's team lost, then the cowboy said, now Krishna, you lost. Carry me on your back. Carry me here, from here to there and back. You lost. Now you have to carry me on the back. I remember one lecture Prabhupada gave, talking about the Mayavadis. How they're struggling so hard, they perform so much austerity just to become one with God. But he said, the cowboys in Vrindavan, they do not want to be one with God. They want to climb on the shoulder of God. And say, now you carry me. And of course there's a Vasalya Ras, parental affection. in describing an act of devotion. When a devotee is absorbed in ecstatic love in the mood of parents, that's called vatsala rasa. But there's absolutely no reverence. In fact, you think Krishna is depending on me. I have to protect Krishna. Now this is very, very different. A big contrast to most people's understanding of God. Most people's understanding of God is that God is a supplier. God is a father. Father means to stick your hand out. Daddy, give me, give me, give me. Give me this, give me that. I want this, I want that. I want so many things. That was not the mood of Nanda Maharshi and Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda especially, the list of all different devotees who are in this rasa with Krishna, vatsala rasa, and top of the list is Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Rohini, who is the mother of Balaram, and you have the elderly gopis, and so on and so forth. You know, Sandipani Muni, is spiritual master of Krishna, is all in that vatsala rasa. So they think that Krishna, I need to protect Krishna. In the morning, when first thing Mother Yashoda do when she gets up, she will chant different mantras for the protection of Krishna. And then she will decorate Krishna's head and also draw different yantras on his body, talisman. Yeah, put talisman on his body for chanting mantra, all for the protection of Krishna. And she was expressing to another gopi friend, and she said, you know, because me and my husband, Nanda Maharaj, we are daily worshipping Vishnu, and because of that, Krishna is protected from this Putana witch. When Krishna killed Putana, there was a big sound when Putana fell on the ground. So Mother Yashoda ran out of the house. What calamity has happened to Krishna? He ran and saw Krishna on top of Putana. Quickly she climbed up without considering any danger. Just picked up Krishna and started chanting different mantras. Narayana, please protect him from the north, protect him from the south, from the east, from the west, from all 10 directions, protect him from the head, the ears, the nose. So she was chanting different mantras just for the protection of Krishna. This was a mood. If Krishna is my child, my baby, I need to protect him. There was not even a tinge that he is a supreme personality of Godhead. Of course, one time when Krishna and Balaram used to play, and sometimes Balaram will gang up with the other cowboys and make trouble for Krishna. They'll come and complain to Mother Yashoda. So Krishna is eaten the dirt. And Krishna said, no, no, I didn't eat dirt. Baya is just trying to make trouble for me. Ganging up on me. Bullying me. And Balaram said, no, no, he has eaten dirt. Mother Yashoda said, okay, then open your mouth. Prove your innocence. So when Krishna opened his mouth, it was not just a little earth she saw. The whole universe, the whole earth planet was there. And within the universe, there was the earth planet and Mother Yashoda looking into Krishna's mouth, and then there was the universe and it was the perfection was going on. So now Mother Yashoda was getting a little bewildered. She said, wait a minute, maybe this boy is not an ordinary boy. Maybe this boy is Narayan. And Krishna thought, no, no, this is not the, this is not a rasa. Cover her over with yoga maya. And Mother Yashoda came to senses and said, alright, whatever, don't eat earth again. Don't eat. Be a good boy. So, and when they're eating, they always have to, Krishna was, Mother Yashoda feeling. In fact, actually, I missed out. In the morning, first thing Mother Yashoda do, when the first thing she wake up in the morning, is saw Krishna, milk just start flowing from her breast. First thing she do is just feed Krishna. Then she sang the different mantras for his protection. When it's time to eat, you call out to Krishna. Krishna, come and eat now. The food is getting cold. And Krishna said, no, I want to play a little longer. Isn't it? Sounds familiar? Huh? Want to play a little longer? I'm doing something very important, I'm playing. No, no, come now, before everything gets cold. Just a little. Just a little longer. Just now coming. And that just now coming turned into 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. How many times the mother has a call? Huh? How many times the mother has a call before you come to eat? One. You must be very hungry. Krishna, how many times mother has a call before I come to eat? And then they come to eat, they play, and then mother has to feed. I remember my nephew. They have a maid at home. The maid has to run all over the house calling them to feed them. Is that right? No. So Krishna wants to play, continue to play, mother should come. And then she said, your father is hungry. He wants to eat now. He said, oh, that's not good. Mother, should not keep my father waiting. Should not keep him hungry. Okay, I'll come now. Wash your hand and eat. So this see the sweet relationship. And of course, whatever relationship devotees have with Krishna, the underlying principle is always service. Whether Shantara's offerings of service, Dasharan's offering of active service, service in the form of friendship, service in the form of parents or elders, in terms of taking care, providing, protecting Krishna. There's also service. Madhurya Ras, service, offering in love. Krishna's dear most gopis and the queens of Dwarka, they're Madhurya Ras. So, and sometimes Krishna, of course, he gave nothing as children are. And of course, Krishna's famous pastime is stealing butter. That's why he's doing makan chaw. Butter thief. He used to steal butter from the other gopis. And they'll complain to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda think, why would Krishna go and steal butter? You have so much butter in the house. So next time you keep your butter high up. And then Krishna will come, you see the butter high up, get upset, and climb on top of the other. And you cannot reach it, you take a stick and break the butter pot. The butter will flow out and you'll eat. So all the time you're giving trouble to the gopis, and the gopis will come and complain to Mother Yashoda. If it's too high, you climb up and break the pot. And sometimes you bring more pots than he can eat. When he cannot eat anymore, you just feed it to the monkeys. And even when it's dark, it seems like light coming from his body, illuminating. Even in dark you can see. We don't know what to do. One time I caught Krishna red-handed, talking to Mother Yashoda. Caught him red-handed. He cannot say no, because his hands are full with butter, mouth filled with butter. And Mother Yashoda was going to punish him. Krishna was running around in the courtyard. Mother Yashoda called him in. Krishna said, my dear mother, why are you so naive? You know the song? In the Janmasthami, Krishna, you are singing that song. Krishna, why are you so naive? Why do you think I look like steal butter? There's so much butter in the house. You're feeding me so much butter, I'm so full. How can I eat any more butter? Mother Yashoda that's by those simple, you feel so much affection for Krishna. But because others complain, he wants to punish Krishna. And all the gopis said, oh, no. Don't punish him. We have enough butter in the house. He can come and eat as much as he wants. So Mother Yashoda got upset. He said, next time, don't go and steal butter. Here, whole pot of butter. Eat as much as you want. Don't steal.
So this is it. That's like parents, if the children are naughty, sometimes they are being punished. Although Mother Yashoda raised a stick, he never used it. Like Krishna Prabhupada also said regarding Gurukul, they can raise a stick, but don't use it. So then that's the loving exchange with Krishna, Mother Yashoda and Krishna. And sometimes Krishna will carry the sandals of his father come home, and the sandal is too heavy because it was a small child. You carry the sandal on his head, indicating how Krishna even take the dust from the feet of his devotees and put on his head. There's a picture of that. How sweet. So this is the whole life of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. That's completely absorbed in Krishna. And when Krishna goes to the forest, he's just feeling so much separation, even just during the day. And so much separation. And when Krishna comes home, it's just like her life just come back. And how does the devotees that pass the time, the gopis pass the time when they're churning butter? In India, Prabhupada was saying in India many years ago, when they want to remember someone, what they do, they go to a poet or whatever and create songs. Is that right? Bangladesh? They create songs and then they sing the songs for this person, of the person. So all day, while they're chanting butter, they're just talking about Krishna. Talking about Krishna's pastime. In this way, they derive so much satisfaction and pleasure just by conversing with one another about Krishna. It's Krishna Katha. So, and the other gopis, they also wanted to have this relationship with Krishna, but there's only one mother. They also have this parental affection towards Krishna. In fact, they love Krishna more than their own sons, children. So Krishna fulfilled those desires of the elder gopis to have him as a son. How did he do that? That's where the Brahma Vimoha Leela comes into play. Krishna was having prasadam with him, taking lunch with his friends. And the cows started wandering off into the forest. And all the cow boys are getting worried. And Krishna said, "Don't worry. You continue with your lunch, I'll go and find the cows." He went into the forest. When he came back, all the cow boys were gone. And he understood that Lord Brahma is playing trick. Because Lord Brahma is thinking, who is this Krishna? So strong, so powerful. Everyone's talking about him. Let me test him. They stole all the boys. Put them in a cave. It was just a moment. But when he came back, he saw so many, all the cowboys were still there. He said, "How is that possible? I just put them in the cave." So what Krishna did, he expanded himself with all the cowboys and the calf. In fact, Lord Rama stole the cowboys and also the calf. He expanded himself to all these cowboys and calves. And Lord Brahma was bewildered. What happened? But of course there was a time difference there. So in the meantime, before Lord Brahma came back, Krishna came home with the calf and the cowboys, and each one of them going back to their home. But this time, all the elderly gopis, they could not understand why, but they felt so much more affection for their own sons. Just like they were feeling for Krishna. They take each one of the sons, put them on the lap, feed them. The milk was flowing from the breast, so much milk. It seems like this, when the mother has so much affection for the child,
There's so much milk. There was a very interesting incident in Vrindavan. Recent time, I think what's the name of this Madhuji had adopted the girl. I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu's wife. She adopted this child. And when she adopted this child, the milk started flowing from her breast. She started having breast milk. Normally you have after childbirth. But she has so much affection for the child. Yes. And even in later years, Krishna is already grown up. Krishna already grown up, already married. So still there's so much affection is there. So all these elderly gopis, they have so much affection for the child. They do not understand that it actually was Krishna, expansion of Krishna. They think it's not my child. And same thing with the calf and the cows. And the cows were having so much affection also for the calf. So much so, one time Krishna and the cow was taking the calves out, and the older gopas, they were taking the older cows in Govardhan. When these cows saw the calf at the bottom, they all start running down, and the gopas could not control them. They came rushing down towards the calf, and the ladle filled with milk, and they just were feeding the calves. First the gopas were upset, but then when they saw Krishna, they suddenly they became very happy. And so Balaram was observing this phenomenon and was thinking, what trick is Krishna up to now? So he asked Krishna, and Krishna revealed to him what happened. So in this way, Krishna fulfilled the desires of the gopis who wanted to have that relationship with him. So in this way, Krishna is a perfect reciprocator who fulfills everyone's desire, whatever one's desire may be. He's fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. So the gopis want to have the relationship of parents with Krishna. Krishna fulfilled those desires for one whole year, where they have Krishna as their son. And of course, when Lord Brahma came back and saw the cow, the cows are still there, cow boys are still there, Krishna was still there, having lunch with his friend, joking. He checked. And then here they're still there. And then Krishna manifested his forearm form, Narayan form, and Lord Brahma understood. Quickly came there, found Krishna in a secluded place, and offered prayers, wonderful prayers to Krishna. That's in the 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented upon. Some have seen the tape. Javita Maharaj putting the microphone so close to his mouth and he barely hear what he's saying. He was preparing to leave the body, just skin and bone. But yet, his consciousness telling him still so lucid, so sharp. In fact, if you read the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, it's one of the most amazing purpose Prabhupada written. Even that condition shows completely transcendental, on the transcendental platform. So here Krishna, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj showed that affection towards Krishna, and Krishna is enjoying that relationship. He's playing that part very well. Even when Mother Yashoda is chastising, just like when Krishna broke the butter pot and Mother Yashoda tied him up. He broke the pot before she tied him up. And Mother Yashoda found out that Krishna had broke the pot and found him hiding. So he was holding a stick, and Krishna was running in fear of Mother Yashoda. Krishna is fear, by fear personified. Everyone in this material world is ruled by fear. In the one of the purport, Prabhupada said there are four problems of life: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But out of all the four problems of life, the most prominent is fear. Fear of where am I going to get my food? Fear of when am I able to pay my rent or my mortgage? Fear of do I get companionship, mating? And fear of I've accumulated so much wealth, so much property, so much thing, the fear of losing it all. There's like people that pay so much money for insurance. They lock up their house. I also remember after I'd been in Sweden for a few years, first time I came back to Malaysia, I came back, the second time I came back to Malaysia with my wife. In the house, even when you're sitting in the house will lock up with 2-3 locks. Yeah. Other to lock it, and then there's another padlock. And my wife was asking, why they have so much locks here? Because in Sweden we don't lock, at least in those days. Do they lock nowadays? No. In those days we don't lock. Even if we live in the country, even not so long, 10 years ago, sometimes we had to go out. My daughter would come from school, we'd just leave the door unlocked. So you can come home, come in. So many locks. So much fear, the thief will come and steal away. Steal all this away. That's what Prabhupada said. The grasser they accumulate wealth, and the thief will come and steal. So, what was I? Yeah. So everyone is fearful of so many things. Fearful of the unknown. But Krishna is feared by fear personified. And yet, she's running out of fear of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda running after him with a stick. And she's running. And she's crying. And he's rubbing his two lotus eyes with this, what they call this, kanja? Smear over his face, it's around his eyes. And Mother Yashoda tie him up. Finally caught hold of him. Mother Yashoda could not catch him. Describe even the yogis, they travel at the speed of the mind. Even if they travel at the speed of the mind for 1,000 years, they cannot even approach the toenail of Krishna. Mother Yashoda of capturing him. Yet Mother Yashoda, a simple cowherd lady, when Krishna allowed her to catch him, she was able to capture him. And tie him up. Of course, after many, many attempts of the ropes, connecting so many ropes. So when you can capture Krishna only by when Krishna allows himself to be captured. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not passive formula. It's not like a formula where you just say, okay, if I do like this, like this, like this, like this, then I get Krishna. It's not like the worship of the demigods. You follow the procedures, you worship, and then you get the rewards. But with Krishna, he can only be conquered by love. No other way. You can only get Krishna by intense grief. It's prayed by Rupa Goswami. You cannot buy Krishna. Krishna can only be bought by Lawyam. That's the only price to pay. And Rupa Goswami said that normally you do not find Krishna anywhere in the market. You cannot just go to the market and look for it. And then go today, it's open, South Melbourne Market. Go in the shop. Do you have a Krishna Prema here? For sale. And if you are so lucky, the shopkeeper say, yes, I have. Don't ask what price, just pay. So Rupa Goswami said, you cannot just find the market, but if you do find, you should be willing to pay any price. Because it cannot be achieved, but even by many, many years and lifetimes of pious activities. It can only be paid by one price, and that only price is Lawyam. I want it.
And Krishna demonstrated, Prabhupada demonstrated this point once in his exchange with this girl, Saraswati. She's the first girl born in the Eastern movement, the daughter of Shyamasundar and Malati, Mataji. They were the secretary of Prabhupada. So, it was in India. One line member gave Saraswati a silver Krishna Murti. And Prabhupada was thinking, what is this small child doing with a silver Murti? Prabhupada took the Murti. And then he asked Saraswati, Saraswati, where is Krishna? Saraswati is looking, where is Krishna? And Prabhupada keep on saying, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then as she go on, she became more and more desperate. And she was, this whole emotion was welling up, and the devotee said, yes, yes, who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? And went on for a while. And she was almost in tears. And then finally she said, Prabhupada! Prabhupada is Krishna. So I was hiding. So in this way, Prabhupada was showing, demonstrating that the one Krishna he had to develop that intense greed, intense. And the devotees were also expressing Prabhupada during his last days. I think it was Bhavananda was asking, say, Prabhupada, sometimes you drive us crazy. I think you're just doing this just to draw out our love for you. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's my duty. To draw out the love of the devotee. Because this love is there, it's not something external. We are naturally Krishna conscious. Naturally we are in love of Krishna, but it's covered over. The process is to draw out that love. The Sravanam Kirtana. Krishna's prema satya Krishna Nitya Siddha Krishna prema satya kabanoi Sravanani sudhichete koroyodaya. We are naturally Krishna conscious, and by the process of hearing chanting is awakened this love of God, and it's awakened more and more and developed into Laoyam. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing some Laoyam Lala Shamayi. This intense greed, honestly, this intense greed, that is the way to dog tail our greedy propensity. Think of greedy for material things, become greedy for Krishna. Greedy for anything Krishna conscious. Greedy for service. Greedy for the holy name. Like Rupa Goswami said, there's so much nectar in the name Krishna. When I chant in my one mouth, these 2 years is not enough. I wish I have 100 years to hear. And with 100 years, I wish I have 100 mouths. To chant the name. That's love. I want it so much. So that's the price to pay. And that's what Nanda Maharaj Mataji showed us. This intense love of Krishna. The whole life is directed towards Krishna. This, when Krishna, without Krishna, there must ever be dead. There's no life. Also the gopis. When Krishna left Vrindavan, was going to leave Vrindavan, it was so heart-wrenching for the devotees, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Vidura came to take Krishna on the order of Kamsa. He got an invitation, inviting him to Mathura for the wrestling match with the idea of killing him. And although Nanda Maharaj reluctantly agreed, Mother Yashoda said, no, I cannot let you go. And even when Nanda Maharaj revealed to Mother Yashoda the shocking news that actually he is not our son, he is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. After the initial shock, Mother Yashoda said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because right from birth she's been drinking my milk. Right from birth, I've been caring for him. It doesn't matter. He is my son.
Doesn't matter what anyone says. He is my son. And I do not want him to go. And Krishna is a plead with her. And finally, great reluctance, he allowed Krishna to go. Now, when she understood, this is what Krishna wants, then he let go. And now, of course, all the common friends also. It's their life. It's like when Krishna is like the live air. How can you live without live air? You can live without so many things. You can live without water for days. And you can live without food for even weeks. But you cannot live without air. You want for 1, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you'll be brain dead. So Krishna is the live air. A prana, and you say he wants to go away. How difficult it is, it was for Mother Yashoda and Nandamaj. So you can imagine when they finally meet Krishna and Balaram in Kurukshetra, so much affection just start, that has been pent up, just pouring out. They didn't give a chance for Krishna and Balaram to go through the proper etiquette and proceed of offering obeisances. When they saw him, they just embraced him. They just embraced them. And after satisfying themselves with the embrace, they allowed Krishna Balaram to offer obeisances. And still was not enough. And Vasudeva, understanding that, he took them to the tent. To his tent. Mother Yashoda and Nandamaj, they on the neck, they were holding the hands. Like holding a child. That's the mother's love. Parents, mother's love, father's love for the child. Every parent, they know as a child grows up, one of the most difficult thing is letting go. Allowing them to grow up. Every parent just want to protect. Sometimes even overprotective. And the children, they want to grow up, especially when they start becoming teenagers. They want to grow up. They want to be exercise their independence. And that's why this is the most difficult time. The parents want to hang on. And the children want to be free. That's the time when they're neither man nor boy. Neither woman nor girl. The transition period. And there's a tussle. How much you let go, how much you hold on. And the children keep trying to exercise their independence, their freedom. But we have to understand, it doesn't matter. You're a teenager, you're married, you're with children. As far as your parents are concerned, you're still their child. And yes, David. Despite having heard the glories of the two lords of Dwarka, and despite seeing these opulences now before their eyes, Nanda Yashoda look upon them as if they were still their 8-year-old children. And I know, every time when I go back to Malaysia, my mother will be giving advice. What I should do, what I should not do. Yeah, you should do this. Still like when I was, still like as if I'm a child. And you just have to accept that. It takes some time. It was like a botheration for a while. But then when you realize it's just out of affection, out of caring, out of love they're doing that, then you just accept this. Yes, mother. Yes. Understand. My grandmother said, your clothing is dirty, take it off, I'll wash it for you. That was many years back when I was coming back on holiday. At that time I was about 80 years old. And one thing, I wash my clothes. Let her exercise her rights as a grandmother. Let them exercise their rights as parents. Because when you become a parent, you understand. Before you become a parent, you don't understand. Isn't it? Children always complain about, especially about the mother. Always nagging.
You hear that from my son. I always tell him my wife. Yes. Oh, he's not nagging me. Oh, he's nagging. That time I say, you don't want someone to nag. You just do it the first time they tell you to do. First time they tell you to do, you don't do. And then of course you repeat. And after a while you become nagging. Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Relationship. So, but you see, this relationship is there in the material world. But in the spiritual realm, it's all surcharged with transcendental love. So much love is there. It's stated that in the material world, the greatest love you can find is the mother's love for a child. If you see a child is in danger, the mother will not hesitate. Even if this child is running into the street, the mother will not hesitate, just run out and grab the child. She will not consider her own safety. And this is just a natural inclination on the mother. Just like Mother Yashoda, when Krishna was playing with his friend and walking, fell into the Yamuna, even though they know there's Kaliya serpent is residing there. Now of course Krishna knows that, and he wanted to go in there to chastise and get rid of him because he was creating disturbances in Vrindavan. So he jumped in, and the tree from which Krishna jumped into the Yamuna is still there. So he jumped in, and the cowboys are looking when they didn't see Krishna coming out. So they're getting worried. So they ran back to tell Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and they rushed to the scene. And the first thing Mother Yashoda wanted to do was just jump in. Nanda Maharaj, both of them just wanted to jump into the river. They didn't consider their safety. And when they were restrained, Mother Yashoda just fainted. Out of anxiety, beyond love for Krishna. Just out of anxiety. So these feelings that we have in this world, it's all there in the spiritual world, but it's just directed in the wrong direction. So it all should be directed towards Krishna. When directed everything in Krishna consciousness, then everything is in the proper perspective. Then everything works out very nice. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? You're saying that everyone should have already gone back home, back to Godhead.
Sorry?
Is that what you're saying? Everyone should have already gone back.
No, I'm saying that he is trying so much. Still, and he will keep on trying eternally for all the beings to bring them to the light.
So what's the point?
And we are not so strong and committed that we can commit ourselves to him, but he is still trying.
Because Krishna loves us. If you were sent to jail, your best friend, would he go and join you in jail and say, I keep you company? No. But Krishna came with us. This material world is like a jail. Krishna came as a super soul to give us direction. Krishna never gave up on us because we are eternally his part and parcel. It is us, out of foolishness, think that we can separate ourselves from Krishna.
We can never be separated from Krishna. We are part of Krishna. But out of illusion, we think we can be separated. We think we have a separate existence from Krishna. And quite Krishna is kind. He's patient. He's just like your father. He's kind to the child. He's patient. The child, how many times in the course of a child growing up to adulthood, how many times they say things that are nasty to the parents? Maybe some of you of Indian origin, you know, never done anything like that. How many times out of anger sometimes, when one is forbidden from doing something, and the parents stop one from doing something, he get upset, say some harsh words. Does the parents give up on the child? No. The parents will continue. As long as the child is willing to listen, the parents will continue caring for the child, providing for the child.
His mercy is falling, showering on us eternally. To the mercy of Krishna.
Yes. But you were here last Friday? Yes, we are all very fortunate. You have no idea how fortunate we are. We have so much possibilities here. The Ganges is still there. Yamuna is there. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna left behind Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna left, he left with him truth and religion, but he left behind Srimad Bhagavatam to show the way. The deities are here. Devotees are here. Prasadam is here. A lot of prasadam. As much as you want. Yeah, I had a sankirtan leader. It was very funny. I was serving him prasadam. And it's amazing how much he can eat on a Sunday feast. He was feeding, finally he said, he didn't say no. No more. He said, Krishna is unlimited. His mercy is also unlimited. Mercy is prasadam, right? So unfortunately, my stomach is limited. Krishna's mercy is unlimited. It is our desire and our capacity that is limited. Again, Lauyam. The Lauyam is not there.
He has been hurt and we are brittle minded.
That's unfortunate. Damrita Maharaj once said that that when one comes into contact with Krishna consciousness and have received the mercy, the seat of the Bhakti Lata Beach from Guru and Krishna, and out of some foolishness, and that's a great fortune, but out of foolishness he given up, then he's the most unfortunate. He's so unfortunate even the stones and the rocks were crying in pity for him. So we are very, very fortunate. We should count our blessings. Every moment. How fortunate we are. But if we neglect and give up this Krishna consciousness, then they are more unfortunate than those people who haven't got the chance yet. Who are still waiting for the chance. Sometimes we thought of them as unfortunate. But if we don't take our Krishna consciousness seriously, we are more unfortunate than they are. At least they do not know. We know. We know, but sometimes familiarity, we take it for granted. We take it for granted. Like, I always regret yesterday was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disappearance day. Often regretted, I didn't meet him the last time he was in Malaysia. I just missed him by like 5-10 minutes. Then I arrived in Tamil, he just left. I was living in another town, I didn't know he was there until too late. When I came there, he just left. And again, I didn't get a chance to see him again. If I caught up with him then, I could have just gone to the car, went with him to the airport and get some association. They don't know. Sometimes they things like that, cashier. They never know. Take it when it's there. And especially those older, very senior devotees. I mean, for so a few years, one after another, the Krishna is taking them back, home back to Bali. And they're not there anymore. And many of them are getting old, some are in the 60s. Don't they have the chance to get their association? Now that we are fit, our body is fit, all the faculties of our senses are there, utilize them in Krishna service. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.